Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force. Now, here's your host, Jim Rome.
We have once again our guests, Gene and Linda Pratt, and they're talking to us today from their armchair in Cambodia. It's exciting to have them here. They're talking about the Spirit of God and angels going out into the jungle or forested areas of Cambodia and actually helping them in ministry as they witness, bring healing and deliverance to the people. And in our last program, they talked a lot about deliverance, the basics. It's amazing, no matter where you are on the earth, there are some basics. And I thank the Lord for them. Linda and Gene, you're welcome today. We're great. Yes, we are so interested in hearing more of what is going on in Cambodia in your lives and what God's doing there.
Well, one of the villages that we had gone to, we were doing a teaching. Gene had asked if anyone had started speaking in tongues that they hadn't learned. And so one of the leaders responded that he had. And when he went on to describe how it occurred, he said that when he would start to pray for someone who needed healing, the hair would stand up on the back of his neck, and he would begin to speak in this other language. And when that happened, he would pray for people, and they would get healed. And so we had been describing the gift of tongues. He didn't know that it was a gift of tongues, and he didn't know that it was connected with the gift of healing. But now that he knows what it is, he was really excited about it because he knew that this was something God just sovereignly gave to him, and he didn't even know he was getting a gift. And so he was really excited about that. And
There's one thing. We have a controversy, and this week particularly on our program and the people that have called in for deliverance. And the story they get is, well, not tongues, is of the devil. And, of course, my comment is, yes, it can be, but it's also from God. And there's people that fight it. But you're telling us the gift of tongues, speaking in tongues after receiving the Holy Spirit, this is accompanying miracles and healing? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, it's connected. It's directly connected to him without him knowing that this was from God, that he'd be in the process of praying for somebody for healing, he would be given a gift of tongue that would be used in the process of getting somebody miraculously healed without realizing it was anything to do with theology that, you know, that we argue about. He just got it.
Okay. Good. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that point up. Okay.
I would say we did experience one lady in Thailand who, in the process of trying to deliver her, this demon would speak to us, and we'd have to tell him to be quiet, and then we'd talk to the person, but he kept interrupting, and then he started speaking in what we considered an unknown tongue. Well, we had a friend who was our interpreter that had been a Hindu, and so we called her down there because we were having difficulty with this deliverance. And when she got there, she recognized the tongue this demon was speaking, and as soon as it spoke, that was the language this demon was speaking.
Okay, in this case, it was a demon speaking. Okay, thank you. So we can recognize the difference. Gene, you were telling me about another case with a demon speaking, and what was that now? You were trying to get her delivered. You were working in deliverance, and she began to speak in an unknown tongue. What about that story?
Well, she was a prostitute, had just been taken off, got talked into coming off the street. She had accepted the Lord, but she was still not delivered, and her name was Jen. By her mother gave her the name Jen, but this demon wanted to be called Jasmine, and we were in the restaurant where the where the Tamar Center had was training these women to work in a bakery or in a restaurant to give them another trade. And we were just sitting in there having coffee, and all of a sudden we heard this woman screaming in the back. And it sounded like maybe somebody needed deliverance, but we were just there to have a cup of coffee and a donut. And pretty soon they heard another scream, and the woman came out who ran the place and said, "Do you know anything about deliverance?" They knew us, and so they knew we had some deliverances, and they had tried to deliver a couple of times and hadn't been successful. And we ended up 3.5 hours. So we went back there and spent 3.5 hours on the floor of the kitchen trying to set her free. Anyway, what was unique about this was that you could tell which person was speaking to you, because when the woman was speaking to you, it was very nice and very polite. And when the demon was talking to you, he would mock you. He'd say, "Jesus, I don't know Jesus. Who's Jesus?" And then he'd start speaking in this unknown tongue. Well, our friend, interpreter, and co-minister wasn't there initially, so she came over to help us, and she had grown up a Buddhist and then became a Hindu in India when she was living in India. And when she came, she heard that voice speaking in unknown tongue, and she says, "I know what that is. That's the language that a particular idol in India requires its worshipers to speak in when they come to worship." And so we were able to identify the demon involved by name and enable her to renounce that. And as a result of that, it quit speaking to us in that tongue. But we were tired. She was worn out. And we didn't know for sure if she was delivered or not until 4 days later. I'll let let Linda tell what happened 4 days later in church.
Yeah, she came to church, and this woman, she came up to me and she gave me this big hug, and she goes, "Hi, my name is Popone." And I go, "Popone, I don't know a Popone. I didn't recognize this woman." And so then someone else told me, "Well, this is the lady you delivered on the bakery floor Thursday night." What had happened was that the leader of Tamar Center said that the Lord had told her that she needed to give this woman a new name, because Jen, she was still, you know, her mother had given her that name, and her mother had tried to sell her and her sisters into slavery. And then this demon insists that his name was Jasmine. And so the Lord told this woman, "You need to give her a new name." And so the Lord told her to give her the name Popone, because it means blessing
in Thai.
And so when I finally realized that this was the same woman who was delivered, I was totally amazed, because she looked totally different. I did not recognize her. She had this big smile on her face, and her eyes were just glistening. And it was, I mean, this woman was totally set free, and she was a beautiful, beautiful woman.
And what the Bible says, that we're in a totally different countenance. That's the best word we can come up with. She was so changed in her appearance that we didn't recognize her after spending all that time with her 4 days before. She was a new woman.
And this is why we love doing deliverance, is because we see these people changed into a completely different person, the type of person that God wants them to be. And when they're set free, they have this wonderful smile on their face, and their eyes are just, you can tell their eyes are just glistening and smiling and laughing, and they are a totally different person. And we love seeing people set free. And I believe that's why probably the Lord does, you know, has blessed us to be able to set free. And so exciting. And
that's an example of a demons do speak.
Yeah.
So you can tell who's speaking by the spirit of that voice, and you can tell by the look in their eyes. Yeah, there's a totally different.
Mm-hmm. It's great.
Well, it was really interesting, because we just got back from Thailand a week ago, and we had done ministry on our, when the Lord sent us to Thailand. And so we were there to renew our acquaintances with the people that we met. And lo and behold, Tasani, our Thai instructor, she had set up 9 whole days of ministry for us. And so 9 whole days, we did nothing but speak to groups and pray for people and get them set on fire and get them set free. And I want Jean to tell you about one of the gentlemen that we set free at church.
Yeah, he was apparently he'd been molested as a child by a female, a member of his family, and we started praying for him, and he was going through all kinds of gyrations and trying to turn away from it. Clearly needed to be delivered, but we couldn't speak to him because the demon would let him talk, and he needed to forgive that person, but we couldn't get him. The demon had set him free enough for him to forgive whoever it was that molested him, because that was the key to getting set free in his particular situation. And so we couldn't quite get it done because the demon wouldn't let him talk.
Mm-hmm.
And so finally we kind of backed off, and then we talked to his wife and told him what the situation was and what he needed to do. And once we kind of backed off, she was able to walk him through the process of forgiveness. And just as we were getting into the car to leave, he come running out with a big smile on his face and giving us a hug because he, with the help of his wife, because she was close enough to him, she was able to work this through. And he was delivered and set free before we left the church, although we... In that situation, we needed help, and so we called the wife in. So you got to be flexible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's okay. Well, these stories, as I repeat again, are right in line with what we've been working actually in the last month or so. And you're talking about the various ways that demons work and your response and their response, how their voices are different, how their facial expressions are different. And it's just a wonderful lesson for our radio audience today, because they call in for deliverance all the time.
Yeah, you can tell by whether or not there's peace on their face. You can look at their face, and if they have a look of peacefulness, of peace, then they've been set free. If they don't, then there's still something there that needs to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
We were one of the deliverances we did in Thailand. The lady had a lying spirit, and so we were walking her through all of the forgiveness issues and all the things that had ever happened to her. And she said, "Oh yes, you know," and she confessed all this stuff. And so we were saying, "Well, you know, we think she's delivered. Do you think you're delivered?" And she'd say, "Oh yes, I'm delivered." Well, we didn't realize it was a demon that was talking to us and telling us, "Yes, I'm delivered," because he wanted us to leave her alone.
And continually lying. It took us 2 days to break through that.
To finally realize that we had been talking to a lying spirit and trying to cover up, you know, the fact that she hadn't been delivered. But then after the second day, the Holy Spirit gave us some wisdom, and we were able to deal with everything, and we got that lying spirit out of her. She got set free.
Well, in the interim, while you were waiting and trying to figure out what was going on, I mean, could you tell in your spirit that something wasn't right?
Yeah. Tasani actually was the one who was the most perceptive on this, because she has a real discernment of spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But I agreed with her because we could look in her eye. Yeah, it's like the Bible says the eyes are the window into your soul.
Mm-hmm.
When you're delivering people, you need to look at their eyes. Their eyes will tell you. Their mouth may lie, but their eyes will always tell you.
Mm. Okay, another good point. Thank you.
Yeah, a lot of times that when you look into their eyes, and sometimes it's like looking into a black hole. You know, you see these dark reflection, and it's like there's nothing there. It's just empty.
Mm-hmm.
And when we see that, we recognize that the demon is still present in that person's life. And so we know then to keep trying to figure out exactly what door is still left open that needs to be closed. Because if there are any doors left open, the demon has a right to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Or come back.
And so the key is to find the door that gave the demon the right to be there in the first place, and then to close that door. And then that person, we let them know that they have the authority of Christ in them, and they have the authority to tell that demon to leave when they feel an oppression, you know, coming back at them. And they have the authority because Jesus gave that authority to us.
And so they have to be saved, they need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then we convince them that they have the same authority that we do to make demons leave, and so that they can walk free and stay free. That's also important. So when possible, we actually have that person help us command the demon to leave so that they know that they are participating in exercising that authority. So it's a teaching process while it's going on, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, we would like to tell you what's happened in Ban Lung since we left. In the last 4 weeks, there's been 100 people saved. There have been healing miracles taking place all over the place. The people are now coming, instead of the Christians going out.
So instead of going to the witch doctor, they're going to the Christians. Mm-hmm.
Actually bringing their sick to the Christians for prayer, and they're becoming Christians, and so the villages aren't that big. The indication that there was 8 families in one village, 7 in another, and
they got saved.
The whole family, and their families are getting saved, and they're actually bringing they're sick to the Christians to get healed, and then when they get healed, they get saved. And so there's actually a revival going on in those villages up there, and they're starting to get persecution because the witch doctors and the people who are
the tribal leaders
are getting concerned that there won't be any animus left for their witch doctor practices. Because the witch doctors make money on people, they prosper on people bringing stuff to them for them to do their work.
And the sacrificing, they won't have anybody left to sacrifice the animal if everybody turns to be a Christian. And so they said because of the increased number of healings and the angelic presence in the people's lives, that people are just coming to the Lord like crazy. And Bea was just telling this just yesterday. She said even the women are, they're not even waiting for their husbands to come back in from the field.
They're nursing children, but they're going out two by two evangelizing with their child still nursing.
Wow.
And so they're really excited. They're actually excited about Jesus and about telling everybody about Jesus, because one of them, there was an angel that appeared to one of the villagers, and the message was time is short.
You have to tell everybody.
You have to tell everybody about Jesus because time is short. Well, the villagers had never even heard that terminology before.
They never knew the book of Revelation. We want to tell one really neat story.
Yeah, it was a...
Let's have it.
There was one of the tribal women. She nearly died in trying to deliver her baby. The baby was coming breech. And so the family had tried everything, and they had sacrificed all their animals, and nothing happened. And so then finally, they, out of desperation, they called the Christians to come and pray for them. Well, the Christians told them about Jesus, and then they all got saved. And so they got saved before anything happened. So within 10 minutes after they got saved, one leg popped out of the woman, and he kind of turned his knee sideways, and then he peed because it was a boy. And then his body, the leg went back up into the womb, and then both legs came straight out, and she ended up having a successful breech delivery.
Without any doctors or anybody doing it?
There was not a medical team present because they don't have that available to them out there. And so it's only a miracle from God that could have given this woman a safe delivery without any help from any medical people or midwife or anything.
Needless to say, they went out and told everybody. And so that's how it's being spread up there, is healing, miracles, and then they tell other people, and then they bring their sick, and then they get healed, and then they go tell somebody else. And they immediately begin to evangelize as soon as they become a Christian, because Bea and Gordon have been very diligent in convincing them that you need to be evangelists, that you don't need a lot of Bible study to tell people about what Jesus has done in your life and convince them to believe also. And so that's, you know, simple faith, and they're just going out and doing it.
Sounds like the book of Acts.
Yeah. In fact, Dee and Gordon said they've tried to adopt that very thing. Two by two, go to a village, find a man of peace, raise him up, stay with him. Once he becomes a Christian, teach him up, and then
disciple him,
and then from that house out,
you send him out.
Begin to evangelize the village. And so they've adopted the very thing, the way Jesus was telling his disciples to do it. And so that's how they're reaching these villages. They're doing it Jesus' way.
The ministry that Jesus began to do and teach, in fact, that's what the author Luke wrote in the beginning of the book of Acts. He wrote the Gospel of Luke, and then he starts the book of Acts by saying the former account, O Theophilus, about the ministry which Jesus began to do. So his ministry didn't pass away when he went into heaven. It actually was passed on to believers, and that's what we're hearing today. Jesus' ministry passed on to believers. Praise God. It's just so wonderful to talk to you. I'd like to have you back for another program. In this case here, I'd like to just to have two programs of you in Cambodia, and I'd like to hear more from you in the future. Does that sound good?
Okay, that sounds great, because just next week we're going to Bangkok. We're going to spend time with revival team that is coming from Australia. They have been doing this for quite some time. I think they're about our age. And one guy is like 82 years old. And so we're going to be ministering with them over the next 3 weeks in Bangkok and Pattaya and in Siem Reap, Cambodia. And so
we should have lots of stories.
We know we'll have lots of stories after that, too, because God is really doing things.
Their ministry is very similar to what we do. It's deliverance, inner healing,
baptizing the Holy Spirit, and getting them equipped in the giftings, and then send them out.
I think you two are as excited as the disciples were in Luke 10 when they came back just shouting and so excited. They said, Jesus, even the demons are obedient to us. And, of course, Jesus sent them out two by two, like you're talking about, to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, and preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Wow, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and that's what it's about. Healing and deliverance and redemption, salvation, being delivered from this old nasty world. Oh, praise God.
Yeah, we're unusual in that.
Washington State.
State of Washington. I was a district court judge in Tri-Cities, Kennewick, Washington. It's in southeast state of Washington. Yeah. You might be interested in knowing that one of the reasons I believe we both believe in healing is because in 1977 I had four-stage Hodgkin's disease, cancer of the lymph nodes, fourth stage, and the Lord spoke to me the first time in my life and spoke to me and said, told me I was not going to die because he had other things for me to do. That began my journey. 2 years later, I was born again, and then and my wife was run over by a tractor on the highway when she was 12 and survived that. And then in the process of going through that, they found that what they said was terminal kidney disease, and she got healed of that. So that's kind of our background. So I'm a rational, logical, you know, kind of guy, but when I see real evidence, I believe it, and we're off and running, doing whatever the Lord wants us to do.
And we also found out that we're both 65 years old, and we thought that we would be too old to be going out on the mission field, doing what we're doing, you know, trekking through villages and across rivers and through streams and rolling up your pant leg and wading through water and stuff. But, you know, the Lord has sustained us. He has given us good health. And, you know, we're just saying that you're not too old to go out and minister God's word.
You just need to take a break once in a while, rest up, and then go again.
Yeah.
Oh, glory to God. Praise God.
We're excited too.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you so much. Jean and Linda Pratt.
I say we'll be talking to you again.
Okay, God bless you too.
All right, God bless you. Bye-bye.
Today, my friend, we have been visiting with Jean and Linda Pratt. They are serving the Lord in Cambodia and the surrounding area. Today, they told some of their stories of what they're experiencing, the remarkable miracles.
Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.
Whoa, there was a woman in the Bible days. She had been sick, sick so very long. But she heard my Jesus was passing by, so she joined the gathering throng. And while she was pushing her way through, someone asked her, "What are you trying to do?" She said, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole." She cried, "Oh, Lord, and oh, Lord." His garment, I know I'll be made whole. And whoa, she spent her money here and there until she had no more to spare. The doctors, they done all they could, but their medicine would do no good. When she touched him, the Savior didn't see. But still he turned around and cried, "Somebody touch me." She said, "It was I who just want to touch the hem of your garment. I know I'll be made whole right now." She stood there crying, "Oh, oh, 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 oh Lord." And oh, oh, Lord, said, "If I could just touch the hem of your garment, I know I'll
listening to a radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
If you want to hear the songs of Zion coming from the land of endless spring, get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Flying with Global Air Force.